Blog Talk Radio.
July 21st, 2014, and this is Foxology Today. Happy day to you, and I do hope you have a new attitude ready to do new and wonderful things with yourself, your life, and this day. I appreciate you joining me for another great show, and I actually hope you've had an opportunity to listen all along the way. But if you haven't, but no worries, I invite you to browse through the list of titles here on Foxology Today and see what piques your interest. I've had some wonderful guests on this show, and we've talked about many interesting, important, influential, informative topics. Always something to learn and grow from and be inspired by. And, you know, I like to talk about things that matter. Of course, I think it's important and it makes sense to listen to other news and know what's going on, learn what others are doing in media and in the world. Of course, that just really makes sense, keep informed, to be in the know. But as for me and my house, me and my show, my focus is on stretching your paradigming, helping you to be more motivated, more inspired, giving you some tools and knowledge. It's been fun for me, and I hope for you, too. Well, my guest today is someone who is serving up knowledge and tools, too. Her name is Shawn Saunders, and she is the author of a new book, Covenant of Peace. And today she stands on the Foxology stage ready to tell us how to take it to the top by talking to the one at the top. We're talking no limits, taking your business idea to the top, the biblical way today. Hello, Shawn, and welcome. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Silva, for having me.
Well, I am so happy to have you here. How's your day going so far?
I've been having a fantastic day, believe it or not. It's a little overcast here, but it's really been a great day, a lot accomplished before this show, and I'm grateful to God for that.
Isn't it great when you can get so much done early, out of the gates?
Makes the rest of the day so much easier.
Yes,
it does. It requires a little planning before.
Yeah, for sure it does. Well, listen, let's start by talking about you. You've got a new book out, but let's hold off on that for just a moment. We know that you've got some longevity in the business field as an entrepreneur. Why don't we start with you giving us some insight on that part of your life?
Well, I started out in the pharmaceuticals on my own. This year is our 14th year of being in business. But prior to that, I'd worked in management for quite some time in the health field. So transitioning into what I am currently in was not so difficult because it was something that I had been preparing for quite a while. In addition to that, once I got into pharmaceuticals, there were other things I found that I was passionate about. So, of course, I diversified my portfolio by investing and getting involved in different types of businesses. As you'll see, I'm involved in real estate as well as business management to some extent. So yes, my business interests really peaked without me even realizing it, that was my calling. I kind of like walked into it, and then I was like, oh, wow, I love this. So then, yes, of course, here I am, a businesswoman 19 years later.
Mm-hmm. And so through those years, and I'm sure that has a lot to do with what you teach people now, you learn a lot about how to really get business done, how to roll with the ups and downs, and how to handle many of the issues that come up from day to day, and overall help people succeed. Because they're still, it's so interesting to me, Sean, when I read statistics about startups and how the numbers pretty much haven't changed ever since I've looked at them, about the number of businesses who start, and within a couple of years, and it could be a couple, it could be maybe they last 4 or 5, but ultimately they find themselves on the way out of business. And I know that there is no secret formula. There is no way to determine. I imagine with businesses that don't make it, there are a lot of variables that could be the reason for that. But I'm hoping that maybe what you can share with us in the brief time that we're going to be talking are some of the ways to really keep a handle on it so that you can swim and not sink. So let's start talking about that. What are some of the principles you want to share with us today about when you've got a business idea or a business up and running that people should definitely have on their to-do list?
Well, first thing I encourage people to do, I really, when I have a conversation with somebody about starting a new business, one of the things is I ask them to really consciously be honest with themselves. You must be willing to accept what is positive and negative about yourself. If you know that you are not a person that is see it through to the end or a finisher, then you really should be a person who should not consider being in business for yourself, unless you are willing to staff that weakness and step back from that leadership role. Then I also encourage people to really examine their motive for wanting the business. Are you doing this because you just want to make money? Are you doing this because you want to make a difference? Are you doing this because this is something that you feel that is part of your DNA and you feel called to do it? Because these are the factors that are going to help you make that determination as to whether or not you're going to pursue when nobody else believes in you or when it looks like it's never going to happen. The other thing I ask people to look at is, how much time do I have? How much, am I prepared to embrace this as if it was a newborn baby that requires 24 hours a day care? Because people need to face the reality that when you are a self-employed person, you never stop working. You are constantly nurturing that baby. And until it gets to a point where it becomes, like a toddler, able to take steps and then be able to walk and then, you know, taking a child all the way through college, you're going to have to be prepared. Am I in this for the longevity? So I always tell people, examine apply the 3D principle, which is in my book, Desire, Determination, and Discipline. And I tell them to move in 3D, move in desire, move in that passion. If you're not passionate about it, you're going to run out of steam somewhere along the line and then not see it as worthwhile anymore. And then you must be determined. Develop an unwavering result that I'm going to succeed no matter what. Whether people believe in me, whether they support me or not, this is my dream, this is my passion, and I'm going to run with it. And then be prepared that whenever you discover that there is a requirement of you that does not fit into your current lifestyle, that you will change who you are to match the level of success that you want to accomplish. So those are the things that I tell people straight out of the gate. Be honest. Develop that passion. Mm-hmm. If it's not there, be honest and say, you know what, mm-hmm. I'm probably better as a leader. Now, some people have great ideas and they have the money, but they can't do the business. They have to hire people. And you'll see I mentioned in the book of there's an incident where people weren't accepting me for reasons, and so what I did was put somebody else between me and that person so that it didn't hinder my progress.
That's smart thinking. And those are the kinds of things that I like to have people hear, Sean, because I know from being in a trainer, there are all too many situations like that that come to interrupt processes because two people cannot see eye to eye or function successfully together. And putting somebody in between them is such a brilliant idea. And rather than lose what may be a wonderful opportunity that actually pans out to benefit both parties
really well.
So I love that idea. I love having those nuggets come out that people may not be thinking of. And two, I think in what you said too, and you can reflect on this as well, what you just described in that little scenario says be more concerned about what you know you're out to obtain and what your purpose is and what you want to gain rather than focusing on the drama and the potential conflict or the conflict that exists. What you want to have happen as a result is much more important. And people have conflict. That's not an unusual thing, but strategizing past it, of course, is the brilliant part of it. That's wonderful. Let's go back and talk about your 3D concept and have you break that down a little bit more. We got the quick, fast definition of it. Could you go into those just a little bit more for us?
Okay, I have the 3D principle, which is my, I call it moving in 3D, which is desire, determination, and discipline. And what I found over the years is that in order to make something happen, there are three key elements that a person must possess. Some people will break it down into different meanings and different groups, but no matter how you break it down, it all comes back to how badly do you want it, which is your desire or the passion for something. Most people who are very successful consistently will tell you that they can think of nothing else other than what it is that they wanted to do. It was the total focus of everything that was going on in their lives. Some of them actually sacrificed family and friendships because they were so focused that everything else in their world became so small that they couldn't even concentrate on it. So the desire is to deem something so desirable that even your whole body responds to it. It increases your adrenaline. Everything about you changes. You're energized over this. If you're not feeling that over something that you're wanting, then it's probably not what you really need to do because you're not passionate about it. That passion is going to drive your energy. So I talk about that in the book, and I'm not going to go into a whole ton of details here, but in order for you to have success in business, you have to desire and have a true intent on being successful. You have to start thinking that you are successful before you even walk out the gate with the start of this business. And then determination. To have a determination for achieving something is that you must understand that, yes, I can succeed, I will succeed. Determination is those words that say, I can, I will, I am, and because I am this, I know I can do this. Because somebody else has done it, that means it's possible. These are the things that determine, then in other words, to say determination in the Christian world would be your faith. Believing beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is possible, and then surrounding yourself with people that feed into that, finding people who have accomplished something similar or who is doing the same thing or have already achieved it. So now you can look at that and say, wow, you know what? Yeah, what I'm thinking is not so bad because, yes, it's already been done. Somebody has already achieved more. And then the discipline is, and I use the word disciple, because discipline comes from the word disciple. And when you're a disciple, you follow after a particular calling or a particular teaching. And what you are doing as you go along determining whether you want to establish this business is learning about the business. You're learning the ins and outs, the pros, the cons, the do's and the don'ts. And as you begin to learn those things, you now have to shift your thinking. You have to shift your behavior and your actions. You are now going to become a disciple to everything it takes to make it happen. So discipline is what is the determining factor as to whether or not you will achieve your goal. Let's use me for an example. At my maximum, I weigh 350 pounds. And when I realized how big I was and how detrimental that was to my health, I became passionate about losing weight. I really had to lose the weight, and I wanted it gone like yesterday. So I had to now go ahead and educate myself on food, educate myself on ways in which to lose the weight, and then I had to develop a discipline of changing my eating patterns, changing my approach to exercise, and in order to attain this goal of losing weight. So over the years, I got off like to 140 pounds. That took some drive, because when you've developed habits, it's hard to break them, especially when you like to eat certain things, and it's very difficult to change certain things about yourself. But I had to apply this 3D principle to lose weight, and I still have to apply it all the time just to try and keep myself from going back overboard. The same thing applies to business. If you know that you want to be a, you want to own a business that, say, for you're a fashion designer, you have to be passionate about that, because your passion is going to show in your designs, number one. And then you have to be determined, because there's so many people designing clothes out there. How many doors are you prepared to knock on? How many events are you prepared to go to and showcase your product? You have to now discipline yourself to make those cold calls every day, to get out there and show people your clothes, to be at these events. It requires discipline. And what I have found is that a lot of people will tell you, I have this dream, I want to do this. But the minute they find out how much work is involved, they stop. Hence, the reason why a lot of people go out of business, because they say, oh, I didn't sign up for this. Oh, I want to go, you know, I want to go skiing religiously at this time, and this is interrupting my social life. And so because now they have to change their socialization, they have to change some other things about it, they don't want to do it, because to them it's not worth the sacrifice. So what you find now is the person who will be successful in business is the person who will say, you know what, so what if I can't ski this month? I'll probably ski next month, or maybe I'll miss skiing this year, but I need to set this foundation first. They're willing to give up that selfishness and invest into a future for tomorrow. So one of the things I tweeted the other day was, I'm living with the decisions I made yesterday, but what am I doing today that I will have to, but can I live to tomorrow with the decisions I made today?
Mm-hmm.
There are
well,
a lot
it's
of people.
That,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead, please.
I was going to say that a lot of people made the decision yesterday to start a business today, and they started off running, and they're living with the success of a decision they made yesterday. But a lot of them are deciding today not to push, not to make the cold call, and that result shows up tomorrow, which means now you have a failing business.
Right, right. Well,
for everything
I know that you're.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you're right when you say that. Well, everything you said is absolutely on target. I think a lot of people do think it's going to be a lot easier than it turns out to be. You know that you can't possibly know exactly what's going to happen, because most people who launch out in business have a pretty big, lofty type of dream in their head about how things are going to go. And then, of course, reality sets in, but reality does not mean that you lose the dream. It just means that there are some things you need to learn along the way to continue to make it happen. So I think that's important. I want to ask you a couple of things on the list that your public relations person had sent to me. Of course, you've talked a lot about already what your message is to the readers, and I think it's awesome. But I know that you really want people to understand the dynamics between God and business. And can you tell us some of the things that you perhaps utilize in your own spiritual life and consciousness that you apply that can help others as well?
Well, one of the things that I had to embrace, and a lot of Christians especially I have in the position that I was in, I did not believe that God was a God that wanted you to have excess. I believed that having excess meant that I was going to go to hell, because it was easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle than to enter the kingdom of God. So to have to be prosperous and be wealthy was not something that was in my vocabulary or even in my thought process. What I learned through studying the Word of God was that God does want you to prosper. And one of the very popular scriptures that people use is Jeremiah 29:11, which says, I have a plan for you to prosper you and all that stuff. People quote it all the time. The other quote that people use, and some people, I mean, I know I use it because it's part of my message, is Deuteronomy 8:18, which says, it is God that gives you the power to obtain wealth so that his covenant may be established. Now, when I would read that, I would say, okay, his covenant may be established. And I really didn't know what covenant he was talking about. But I kept sticking to the concept that God, it is God that gives me the power to obtain wealth. Then I would look at Malachi chapter 3, and it says, try me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour the blessing upon you that you will not have room enough to receive. So if something is going to pour out of heaven that you don't even have room enough to receive, in reality it means that you will have excess. And as I begin to look at these scriptures and begin to evaluate what is it that God really wants for us in terms of prosperity, I discovered that there were more scriptures in the Bible that dealt with you being a prosperous person and living well than there was that dealt with salvation. Because there's only one time you need to ask for salvation. But prosperity and prospering and living well is a lifestyle that a Christian person or anybody who believes in the principles of what is taught in the Bible have to live out daily. And that's why a lot of people don't prosper, because it requires a conscious change in behavior that will govern how you achieve things. And the book itself is part of that quest to bring knowledge to the body of Christ or to anybody who believes in God, because guess what? The secular world is already implementing these strategies. It's only the Christians that don't really get it. There's a study that shows that Christian people are among some of the poorest of all religions. Why is that when we serve a prosperous God? The book, The Covenant of Peace, was taken from Ezekiel chapter 34, where verses 25 through 31, where God is saying, I establish a covenant of peace for you to prosper. And there's seven promises God made in those verses. He said, you will dwell safely in the land among wild animals, and no harm will come near you. There will be showers of blessings. I will give you a bumper crop. And I will set you free from those that enslave you. And that's only like four of them I told you about, but there's seven of them there. What I realized was that you have to now do something for God to give you a harvest, because the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, that he is Lord of the harvest. It didn't say he was the Lord of planting a field, but he said, if you plant, that means that in order for him to give you a harvest, something had to be planted. What we have fallen short of in the Christian world is educating ourselves on the necessity to prosper. Without money, you have no influence, you have no power. Without money, you can't make changes. Without money, you cannot ease the pain of another person. Without money, you cannot obtain the proper rest. The Bible also says in Ecclesiastes, it is a gift from God that a man would work and enjoy his labor. Work, yes, and enjoy it, yes. Gifts from God.
Yes.
So if this is what the Word of God is saying, why is it that so many Christian people fear money? Why do they fear prosperity? Why do they condemn people that talk about it? Why are we running from what is obviously a God-given promise that cannot be broken?
Well, I believe there's a good reason for it, Sean, and that's because over the years, and I'm talking about many years, that was taught to us in a way that prevented us from shaping our paradigm in the way you have discussed. And I know, too, in reading The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, T. Harv Eker says things very similar to you, and there's a reshaping that has to take place. And he says every Christian should want to be prosperous and a millionaire, because that's the way you can get God's work done in the best way.
Right.
Everybody should want to be that. Well, you know, the things that you said are just so dynamic, and I definitely want people to know how to get your book and other things that you're doing. You say such amazing, mind-shifting things. Let's talk about how to get your book. Give us a little scope of it once again, and let's tell people how to get it.
Well, the book itself, The Covenant of Peace, it comes straight out of the Bible from Ezekiel chapter 34. In one section of the book, I deal with accountability because that's the core, one of the core messages I have, that people will be accountable for what they're taught, for what they're allowed into their head, their minds, and that governs their actions, and realize that it doesn't matter what a preacher or a leadership says, you are still accountable to make sure that information is accurate and lines up, and make sure that before you implement it, it does work. The other thing is that people must understand that they must renew their minds. You must be willing to accept new teaching and be willing to realize that something that you may have been taught may not be right. And then be willing, the third message, to move with desire, determination, and discipline. So the Covenant of Peace deals with God's promise of prosperity. And it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's also available on Kobo and iTunes. If you want a hardback copy of the book, you would have to order it from my website, which is sean-saunders.com. And I'm also on Instagram. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook. You can follow me because I tweet little things about the book every day. And I try to say things that would make people understand, you know, that, you know, I should be doing something to move forward. And it's not just a talk, it's a walk, but it's also a goal that I need to finish. So people can find me, yes, on Amazon, and they can find me on Barnes & Noble and Kobo. Also, my website is sean-saunders.com, and there are interviews on there that you can hear me talk about the book as well.
Okay, great. Can you just take 1 minute and tell people what you would say in order to approach reshaping how they think? Because I believe that really is the unanswered question to why many Christians do not prosper. Those statistics I know are very real. So what would be your elevator pitch to folks to say, this is what you need to do and why you need my book?
The first thing I would tell people is stop blaming other people for your lack of progress. If you're not moving, it's because of a choice that you're making. You have to now be accountable to yourself and say, you know what? Yes, other people may have taught me something different, but now that I know that I am not where I'm supposed to be, I must now, what can I do to move forward? And the one thing you want to do is invest in education. Find out what you need to know to get you to where you need to go. And what my book does is it helps you to go back to your original understanding of what does the Word of God say about what I'm entitled to. And is this really true that God wants me to have it? Is money a bad thing or not? And when you begin to answer these questions and realize that, yes, God wants me to prosper, money is not bad, you will then move with a different type of determination. The whole idea here is reform your thinking and understand that I was designed to prosper. I was designed to mm-hmm. live and be in good health. Yeah. That prosperity is not just money. It is having a balanced life with your family. It's having health. It is also psychological. It's mental. It's also spiritual. And, yes, it is financial, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Well, I sure appreciate you sharing your genius with us today, and I'm going to make sure people know that your website, give that out quickly, and then I'm going to wrap.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Your website, please?
It's Sean, Shawn, hyphen Saunders, Saunders.com.
Wonderful,
and on Twitter and Instagram as well.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of your sharing today. Definitely something to live by. I've been talking with Sean Saunders. She's the author of Covenant of Peace, an outstanding piece of literature, inspiring tools for helping business people take their business to the top. Yes, indeed. She says, be honest with yourself, analyze your weaknesses, examine your motives. How much time do you have? Well, it's a 24/7, 365-day project. So keep that in mind. She says, find out what you need to know to go where you want to go. I love that. So today I've been talking about taking it to the top by taking it to the top. I hope you all have a great day. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be looking forward to talking to you again next time.